Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
8:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. I'm broadcasting live from WFAN in New York City. Ed and Jeremy holding it down in Baltimore. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, he is Steve Molesky. What's going on, Steve?
Man, you must feel some history in that building.
Ooh. Oh, there is. I'm just past Boomer Esiason coming back from the bathroom, talking to him for a little bit. It's a good place to be. It is. I'm not going to kid you. It's a good place to be.
It's cool.
What, the fan or in the bathroom with Boomer? Which one's the good place to be?
I wasn't in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
I passed him in the hallway coming from the bathroom. He was going in. I was leaving. Steve, this team is playing remarkable baseball, and Jeremy Kahn said tongue-in-cheek a little bit earlier because people would ask us silly questions like, what's going on with this team and you can't tell me injuries? Well, these players are coming back, and they've been playing over 600 baseball since then. It's funny how effective this team is when they're healthy.
That's right, man. You add Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg, Cedric Mullins. It's funny what a difference that can make. And it's just a much better vibe. They just have a confidence about them. They look like the team we expected to see a couple months ago. And hopefully it's not too late, but there are still 90 games to go. And I think if you, Rob, had put it to a vote a couple minutes before game time yesterday with the totality of Birdland, are the Orioles going to win this game tonight? It would have been a landslide against, probably, but I think they showed some character.
I see. I was doing a little arithmetic while I was sitting here. For the Orioles to reach, I think, 86 wins, which is what the minimum was last year for the playoffs. The Royals and the Tigers had 86 and get in the wild card. They'd have to play 636 baseball the rest of the year. Do you think it's possible, given what you've seen?
It's possible, but that leaves the margin for error so slim. I mean, when I was in with Haney, recently, I said, if you put it in like 20-game slices of the season and you go 12-8, you might be able to get there, but it's hard to do that, and you never do it consistently like that. So 1-8-12 in that run would probably derail the process. So that's where, some fans are telling me, man, they can't afford to lose. It's like, well, they're going to lose some games in these next 90, and you just got to accept that, but they can't lose many, and they can't have an extended losing streak. So margin for error is pretty much gone.
Steve, if you see Charlie Morton or anyone named Charlie, just tell them I'm sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. What are you seeing that's different with him? Is it anything, or is it just like it's a confidence thing? Once he started to see it happening, it kept rolling because he looks fantastic right now.
He does. I mean, I got to think most of this is tied to two things. The improvement of and getting back his curveball, and second, the command of all his pitches. Because early on, he was throwing 94 and 95. And if you looked at that data against his fastball, they weren't hitting it. It's like that's his primary pitch. But really, if you go back to last year and his career recently, His primary pitch, one he throws more even than his fastball, has been his curveball. And he would throw it in the 40 percentile, 42, 44. And earlier this year was like 32. And the reason it was 32 is because it wasn't very good. So he wasn't throwing as much. But now look at these starts. He's throwing at 40, 45. He's getting the swing and miss. He's getting the ground balls on the curveball, which he did last year. And he's a swing and miss guy. Look at 10 strikeouts Friday night and then some key strikeouts last night. I mean, he had dramatically turned it around. It's unexpected, but certainly welcome.
Steve Molesky joins us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Steve, looking back at this bullpen, throw Wednesday out, but the bullpen as a whole recently, I feel like this bullpen turned it around when Brian Baker established himself as the eighth inning guy. It seemed like it put other people in his proper role at that point.
You know, Baker brings more than just a high 90s fastball to that role. He brings emotion, passion, and fire. And baseball's not a game of that, Rob. As you know, when you play under 62, you can't have the emotion of like a once a week NFL game because you'll burn out by the All-Star break. But maybe if you're a reliever and you're not playing every night and you're in high leverage spots, you can show some emotion. And I love when he does. We know if he gets that out like he did last night, he's going to show the fire. And it's kind of cool. It kind of, I think, fires up the whole team. And in a sport where there's not a ton of emotion, it's kind of fun to see. And, I mean, that's just Brian being Brian.
See, what about the trade deadline coming up? Everyone's talking about Mullins basically being gone, from what I hear. And O'Hearn obviously in the conversation. Where do you think the O's have to be buyers or sellers?
I look at it this way. I don't know if the team will, Ed, but I look at it as, be selective sellers. And by that, I mean, there's no big sell-off happening here because the Orioles want to win next year.
Right.
If they can't win this year, they want to contend next year. And maybe they're showing us now that that's not a ridiculous thought to have. So if you just shred yourself of your three or four of your better players and you want to win next year, okay, how are you going to do that? But if there are a couple of tradable players who are on expiring contracts that another team desperate for that talent would overpay for, you got to look at that. So that's what I mean by selective sellers. Detroit did some selling last year and still made the playoffs. So it's yeah. It's possible to do both. Again, that's a thin line, and you got to be careful who you're trading off. And if you trade a player whose contract is up, you could re-sign him in November, you know, so that's doable.
Hey, Steve, as we start looking at the way this roster is constructed, I saw Kierstead, foul ball off his knee last night. He left the game. But I saw some people talking about he getting into that toe tap and trying to correct his swing a little bit. When we look at some of these younger players, the Orioles are in this, I'd call it an unenviable position where you're trying to learn what you have with your young players, but you're trying to win games as well. How much moving forward do you think we see either Kierstead or Mayo getting opportunities to play, not necessarily on an everyday basis, but being here at the majors?
Well, I mean, Kierstead did get a chance. It wasn't a huge, huge season-long chance, but it was an extended one, and he's not the first guy to have to go back. And Kobe is not the first guy who had to wait, and then finally got in there because something happened to a teammate. So, right now, the Orioles are in win mode. They're not in develop mode. It's not like a couple years ago when they took a young kid like Rio Ruiz and said, you're the third baseman for the year. Go show us what you got. This is different now. So that makes it tough for some of these young guys to break through. But they just got to do the best they can with the irregular playing time. And if you're Heston and you go back to AAA, You got to make some adjustments that'll get your bat going, and then you got to tighten up the D, so there's work to be done.
Hey, Steve Molesky joining us. Steve, tell us all about your Substack, man.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, I'm at Substack this year. Steve on baseball.substack.com. Daily articles. I do a lot on the minors, as fans know. I even have a new podcast out. A few weeks ago, I started that. And this week, I interviewed Forrest Hermann, the Orioles Director of Pitching Development. So if you go to steveonbaseball.substack.com, check it out. And I note today, Rob, how about this stat? The last eight series between the Orioles and Yankees, the Yankees have won one. The Orioles are 6-1-1 against the Bronx Bombers.
That's pretty good. Hey, Steve, thanks a lot, my man.
Guys, enjoy the day. See ya.
See ya, man.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jay Bembry joins us at 8:30, but on the other side of it, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I'm giving mine to the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. What the hell is going on there?
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan, shovels now.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Next. Time to give shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057, The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel this morning?
The Pittsburgh Pirates. This is, to me, you know, a once great organization that is just like the wheels are just falling off this team for the last couple of years. If I just go through a couple of things, and I'll give you the latest. Now, they have one of the best pitchers, perhaps the best pitcher in baseball right now. I mean, Skeens is having another one of those years, and he needs to be liberated from this team because they ain't going anywhere. They're not going to spend any money. They're not going to do anything right. And he's just going to continue to, you know, when they're in Detroit, he pitches another gem, gets a no decision because they don't do anything for him.
Something.
Yeah, he's magical again. He's fantastic, and he's just in a bad organization that's not going to do anything for him that's the right thing. Do you remember the fan fighting the security guard incident where there was fists thrown and spitting and all that nonsense, if you remember that?
Yep.
You know, and the guard got in trouble. Like, somebody spits at me, Yeah, I'm taking my belt off too, like he did, just going whip his ass. And now, I don't know if you saw this one. Did you see what Dennis Santana did?
Yes, he went into the stands, or tried to go into the stands. He was jumping up on
in
the
Detroit,
wall.
Same series. That's the night Skeens, has a gem, gets a no decision. Santana's got, he's got a sub 2 ERA, good reliever. But somebody in the, over the bullpen is, trash talking, don't know quite what was said. He jumps up and tries to punch the kid in the face.
Yeah.
And then they put him in the game. You think about that. Maybe like the bullpen goes, hey, Skipper, I don't know if it's a good time for him right now. He just did that.
Get in there.
No, he's okay. Yeah. Yeah, he missed. It's fine. It's like, get him in there. And the other oddity was the heckler in Detroit is wearing a Clemente jersey. So it's friendly fire. He's getting heckled by his own fans.
But it was a Tigers hat.
Was it?
He was wearing a Tigers hat and a Clemente jersey.
Oh, I didn't see the hat.
He's not torn at all.
I just saw it was dark and there was a black hat. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with them. They're terrible and they used to be great. I mean, I remember that, from childhood. But the Orioles have hatred for the Pirates for the World Series. The Mets always got terrorized by the Pirates when they're, years ago in the same division. But whatever.
Hmm. Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
People in traffic on 695. So every day I leave here when I go home and I don't have somewhere to go right after the show, I'm taking the outer loop towards Glen Burnie from like the Towson area. And anybody that's driven that knows that the far left-hand lane right around Liberty Road it's shut down, right? Like, so you're going to have to veer over. You're going to hit some traffic. For the life of me, I hate what I would deem to be unwanted traffic. And what does that mean? When you get in the traffic, people aren't paying attention. Oh, the car in front of them left, and then they slowly start to go. Or like yesterday when I'm waving a guy over because in about 30 feet, he's going to have to get over. But he keeps driving. He drives by me and drives in front of the other car. Guess who he had to get in front of when I got up there?
Mm-hmm.
Me. And he pulled out in front of me and cut me off at that point as I'm sitting here trying to wave him behind the other car. What is it with people now on the road that, like, there's so much nonsense that goes on? I talk about the tunnel all the time of going in there, and all of a sudden it's like it's 50 miles an hour in there. That lane is the same size as the lane outside, guys. And inevitably we go 40 miles an hour. And tying into this, too, like, the speed camera's out here. When you see the little white car behind that, the camera's there. It's 45 miles an hour, not 30. You don't have to slow all the way down to go 15 miles an hour under it because you're not going to get a ticket if you're going 45. You're probably not going to, what is it, 10 miles and over, you're typically going to get a ticket?
It's usually over 12.
12, okay. Yeah. So again, I'm not telling you have to speed. I'm just saying you don't have to go so effing slow that everybody behind you, and you're the ones holding up
traffic.
They're
dangerous too. They're very dangerous because then you try to get around them and someone's, going the speed limit to your left and you can't get up to speed in time to get away from that.
I took my son to the movies yesterday and we're on Arundel Mills and there's a woman that's trying to cross. And anytime you're going to Arundel Mills, there's like people want to get over in the lane that you can't get into. It's blocked off. There's like a cement there that's kind of, in the whatever you want to call them, the barriers. No, but a woman tried to get over. She cut over three lanes. I had my signal on to get over. She had her signal on to get over. She was crossing three lanes. And then I see her. I'm like, oh, okay. So I go, she pulls up next to me, gives me the finger. And
I'm going,
we both were doing the same thing. I just saw you and didn't get over. You didn't see me, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're an a-hole because you didn't let me cross three lanes. And I'm going, what is it with
You've
people?
You've had a lot of this lately.
I get it all the time, man, and it just drives me insane. The worst road rage.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Friend of the show, Rick Ritter, tweeted on Thursday that C.J. Mosley wanted a reunion with the Ravens, but the team's doctor wouldn't clear him. We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, Jerry Bembry joins us to talk about the upcoming Game 7 of the NBA Finals up next on The Fan. 8:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. I don't know anyone who predicted this other than Trippy, but Sunday night at 8 o'clock on ABC, there's going to be a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Joining us right now from the undefeated, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, he is Jerry Bembry. What's going on, Jerry?
What's up, Rob? How you doing?
Doing well, man. Did you see this coming?
No, not at all. I thought it was going to be over last night, and I'm embarrassed for the Oklahoma City Thunder for coming into a crucial game like that. You can end the pace of season and just throwing a big dud out there. It was horrible to watch. I just didn't understand what they were trying to do. They went three happy when they were trailing. When, you know, just go get an easy bucket, and it was just an embarrassing effort. And now it's like an NCAA tournament setup where it's one game and that's it. And so you're the best team in the NBA all year long, and now it's down to one game, and the pressure's on you right now because you're supposed to win, and you didn't win in game six. You threw a dud out there, and it was terrible.
Did you see the Pacers as this good a basketball team? Because I know I was really surprised. I had no idea they were this good.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be that good. And honestly, if not for, you know, some injuries in the NBA this season and the Knicks' big upset in the postseason, it might be Cleveland or Boston that's in this scenario right now. Mm-hmm. So I think they benefited from injuries and teams not being at 100%. And they benefited from the upsets, you know, the Knicks beating the Boston Celtics. But if you look at their roster, when they played the Knicks in the postseason in the past, I mean, these guys, you know, they're defensively able to switch at every position almost. And so they have that flexibility. And, you know, they've got some big-time shooters. They don't have the big-time names, but they've got some big-time ball players on that squad. And they're a very dangerous team. And so, yeah, I knew they were going to be dangerous coming into this series. When they went against the Knicks in the last round, I told some friends of mine, you know, this Pacers team really scares me because they are deep, they are flexible, and they get the job done. They're fearless. And so that's where we're at right now. And credit to Obi Toppin, who scored 20 points last night, because this was the player – that I thought the Knicks had when they drafted him. And he probably was that player, but Tibbs didn't know how to play him.
Just never gave him an opportunity, man.
Never gave an opportunity. So now you're in a free-flowing situation where the ball moves, which is great for the way you play the game. And he's flourishing right now. So big credit to Obi Toppin.
Yeah, man, I'm just sitting here laughing. I love Obi Toppin's game. TJ McConnell's the same way. These energy guys that you bring off the bench, if you needed to start them, I'm sure you'd still get that same type of energy throughout the game. Obi Toppin's been eating Ichabod Crane's lunch this series. Chet Holmgren, I mean, it's just been something where you're watching a guy come in and fill up the stat sheet, and you go back and look at it, and you're like, how did nobody else see this in him? Like, I'd be looking at his brother Jacob coming out going, well, maybe that's a guy I want to get too, because the athleticism's off the charts for these guys.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, he showed it at Dayton when he was there. You know, yep. The season got cut short with COVID, but the skills have always been there with Obi. But when you're with a team where the Knicks, you're coming off the bench or starting on an occasion, and Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle at the time, they're both dominating the ball, that means you never see the ball. And so that's what happened in New York. They didn't know how to really play him with the personnel that they had, and now he's in a great situation. Sometimes it's the team that you're playing with that allows you to flourish, and that's what's happening with Obi Toppin in Indiana.
Jerry Bembry joins us from the Undefeated. Now, Jerry, I don't like the way the Knicks are handling this because it seems like they don't have a plan. But let's go back to Tom Thibodeau. I think he is one of those coaches that can get you there but not take you all the way. I don't think it's a bad idea to part ways with them. I just don't like the way they've handled it, because when you part ways with someone like that, you need to have a plan, and it seems like they didn't have one.
Yeah, when you get rid of your coach, then you should have one guy who's a lock in the wings, right?
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work out, you have two or three guys who are ready to step in. And I don't understand what New York – only the Knicks can do this. Only the Knicks can mess this situation up. And I agree. Tibbs had to go. He can only take you but so far. And he wasn't going to take you to a championship. But my goodness, don't mess it up the way the Knicks are doing it right now. So I'm going to send an application into New York pretty soon, because they have nobody in the wings right now. So I might as well go ahead and coach that team. And Ed, me and you, we can both be coaching assistant or co-head coaches.
Just
there
bring me with
and guide that team.
Just
that's right.
Bring me. I got a quick question. I heard the Knicks, you know, they had no interest in Kevin Durant now. They said he was interested. They turned him down. Are they being like petulant because he went to the Nets when they were in a conversation with the Knicks that time?
I don't think it's that, Ed. I think it's more so that when he went to the Nets, you saw how much they had to gut their team to get him. You had to give up so much. And so in the Knicks scenario, if I'm the Knicks, I'm interested, but I'm only interested to a certain level. I'm not going to give you everything to get Kevin Durant at the end of his career. That's not going to happen. But we can make a deal with some future maybe draft picks if the Knicks have any left. And I could throw a couple guys in there. I think Durant is a guy who can help get the Knicks to the next level. But I'm not going to give up my entire future to get him.
No,
so
definitely
if
not.
That's the reason why they're not going after him, then I agree 100%.
Yeah, and Jerry, like, again, we get a game seven. It's going to be fun on Sunday night. What type of chance do you give the Pacers in a game seven? They're going to be like a close to a double-digit underdog yet again.
Jeremy, the Pacers this year, I mean, at every level I thought they would fail, and they've gone above and beyond anybody's expectations. This is a dangerous team, and they have no pressure at all in this game seven. Nobody expected them to win at all. I mean, we had some ESPN picks, and I think 14 of us picked the OKC to win it, and one person picked the Pacers.
That idiot.
And so, right. And so nobody gave them a chance at all. So if I'm the Pacers, I feel really good. I've gone on the road. I've won big games. I've come back from big deficits. I've proven that I can rattle this OKC team. I mean, they made SGA, they forced him into 8 turnovers last night. And SGA, he's the MVP of the league. You know, God bless him, a great talent. But there are times on the court where I just kind of question him, like, why are you trying to do it individually? Why not work with teammates? And we know you're the MVP. We know you're the best player on the court. But that doesn't mean you have to go out there and try to win it and be a homer, you know, hit a home run with every shot. So I think that he has to really examine his game going into game seven. And he's capable of lifting his team to a championship. He can play a great game, but he can't play the way he did last night, because if he does that, then Oklahoma City's going to get blown out again.
They do it, Jerry, because every time you turn on ESPN, every time you turn on FS1, they talk about your legacy. They talk about the greatest teams of all time. No one lives in a moment. So it appears to me that players like that care more about that, how they're going to be perceived, than they are what's going on right now. Live where your feet are. And I don't see young players doing that anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, you know, trust your teammates. You got guys on your team who can play too. And, you know, if SGA is turning over 8 times in a game, that means Jalen Williams is ineffective. Lou Dort is ineffective. SGA had a game this series where he didn't have any assists. Why? You know, you're the best guy, and you're commanding so much attention that guys are open, so you can give it to somebody. And he had a game in the series where he had 0 assists. And, that's you can't have that. You can't have that at all.
There he is, Jerry Bembry. Jerry, thanks a lot, my friend.
You guys take care. Enjoy game seven.
You do. You too. I think that's a big part of it, man. I mean, they read, you know, we used to say, you know, you read your own headlines. I think they listen to all this stuff, and they're more concerned with that than they are just win now. Just win the game. That legacy and all that talk, that'll take care of itself over time. You're not going to become legendary with one NBA Finals. You're not going to become legendary with one NBA Finals game. You become a legend over time.
Yeah, and again, like, this is – I wasn't going to say anything to Jerry or even ask Ed if they're rooting for the Pacers. As, you know, New Yorkers, I don't expect you guys to root for that team, but I don't know how you can't like them. Like, did you see the moment after? So there were a couple different moments. You had TJ McConnell's dad kind of burst onto the scene in the post game, and he was like, I'm living the best life. I got a son in the NBA and a daughter in the WNBA. What could be better? And then they went back behind, backstage or whatever you want to call it, outside of the locker room, and his grandfather's, TJ McConnell's grandfather's sitting there. And he's holding on to Pascal Siakam's hand, telling him how much he loves him and how great of a basketball. And it's like, I know it sounds kind of corny, but when you see that team is together, that's a team.
That's why I think they're so good, because I think they're better than some of their parts.
Yes.
I don't want to get you confused here. I don't like them. I'm just pulling for them because I'm tired of hearing about a team that's never won anything being the next dynasty. I don't like them. I don't like either one of the teams, to be honest with you. I don't like either one of them. Never cheered for him, never pulled for him, still don't like him. However, I want the narrative to be changed with you telling me somebody's going to be a dynasty before they won one damn title. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to tell me? What story are you selling me next year? What's your narrative next year? Let's see how you spin this. Are you going to let this thing play out, or you're going to sell me something else. That's why I'm pulling for the Indiana Pacers, because they upset everybody's narrative.
I just like saying Pascal Siakam. It's like just like saying Chimichanga. Just fun.
Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, ESPN has a 53-man last quarter century team. We're going to take a look and see what we disagree with up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
On the Fan. Rick Ritter will join. Actually, I'm sorry. Rick Ritter posted something about C.J. Mosley, and we'll talk about that 9 o'clock. But right now, ESPN did a quarter-century team. They did a 53-man roster, and I think, to be honest with you, it's craziness. Quarterback is okay. You got Tom Brady. He's supposed to be number one. Peyton Manning, you have Patrick Mahomes, and the taxi squad, you have Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. That's a tough spot. The running back spot is a head-scratcher. RB1, Priest Holmes. RB2, Christian McCaffrey. RB3, Derrick Henry. And the practice squad is LaDainian Tomlinson. That, to me, is just nonsense.
Well, there's a name that has to be on there that's not on there if you're looking at the past, you know, 25 years. He just got in a fight in a poker game. Why is Adrian Peterson not on this list?
Yeah, I don't get
it. And like Priest Holmes had great years with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But so did all the other running backs that followed him. Like Larry Johnson ran for 2,000. Hell, the fullback Mike Cloud almost ran for 1,500 yards. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous in that offense. And I'm not knocking Priest, but you're absolutely right,
Rob. I am knocking Priest. Derrick Henry or Adrian Peterson should be number one. Flip a coin.
Absolutely, positively.
One of them should be number one. The other one should be number two. Yeah. That's the, and LaDainian Tomlinson, I'm sorry, I take over Christian McCaffrey, and I love Christian McCaffrey. But there's no way in the world. That's your number one, two, and three. Maybe put McCaffrey on the practice squad. But your number one or number two is going to be Peterson and Henry, and your number three is going to be LaDainian Tomlinson. LaDainian Tomlinson's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Priest Holmes not a Hall of Famer.
I think they intentionally do this just so people start talking about it, and here we are. We're all clicked on it. We're looking at it. And then the hard part about this, and I hate when they do these lists because it's like the last 25 years. Okay, so if John Ogden played, let's say, 8 years from 2000 to whatever it was, 2008, and we think he's one of the best offensive linemen in the history of football, he doesn't belong on this list? Did he not play enough? How do you dictate who's supposed to be here? Because Ray Lewis is on the list. I mean, he did play more years than Ogden, but like, again, I'm not saying that's what has to be on there, but how do you judge a guy that played 5 years or if he played really a really high level for that point in time? I think the list is like flawed here.
The wide receivers, Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. Okay. But then you have Julio Jones over Terrell Owens and Marvin Harrison. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm sorry. Julio Jones is a good wide receiver, but he's not over Terrell Owens and Marvin Harrison. And in my opinion, I don't think he's better than Justin Jefferson, who they have as the number six guy. Yeah. And on the practice squad is Antonio Brown and Andre Johnson.
To your point, here we go with, and look, he has he's a five-time All-Pro player. And this is where we start splitting hairs because I don't want anybody to think I'm trashing Julio Jones. But the cat has over 13,700 yards receiving. Terrell Owens, 12,600. Here's the issue. Julio Jones, 66 touchdowns. Terrell Owens, 123. Stop it with the production.
Yeah.
You get the Marvin Harrison, and he's got 95 receiving touchdowns
exactly.
And 3,000 less yards than him.
It's not even close, man. I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're seeing right here. And if we're talking about just productivity, you want to put him ahead of Justin Jefferson? Fine. But if that's the case, then Justin Jefferson shouldn't even be on a team.
Yeah. Well,
if you're good enough to be on a team, then you call a spade a spade. If you're calling a spade a spade, Justin Jefferson is better than Julio Jones.
Yeah. And by the
prime.
So there's a couple things here. Yeah, Justin Jefferson has 40 receiving touchdowns, which is 26 less than Julio Jones. He's only played 4 years, though, which is why you'd see him. And I don't care what anybody says. The guy's a jackass. Antonio Brown's one of the best receivers ever played this game, period. And he should have been on this list.
I'm not arguing against that. And tight end, they got the right three. Rob Gronkowski should be number one. If I'm nitpicking, I flip Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. I think Gonzalez is better than Kelce.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Gates should be on there.
He's the practice Gates. Squad.
Yeah.
He's on a practice squad.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah. I think who should he be over?
Huh?
Who should he be over?
Look, it's tough.
You're having three.
Can I put him over Tony Gates? God, right. You know what? Like, again, that's me. I just think Antonio Gates is one of the best pass catching tight ends I've ever seen in this league. They don't have his numbers up here, comparatively speaking, but 96 touchdowns for Gonzalez, 77 for Kelce. And then when you look at Gronk, he had 92. I might put him over Kelce, honestly.
You would?
Maybe.
I think you got it right with Gronk, though. He's the best tight end ever.
Everything, blocking.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best ever.
I love the fact that they have one center on here, Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Just one. Not Marquise Pouncey. I think Marquise Pouncey, if there's a practice squad, he could be on that. But Jason Kelsey's the best center of the last 25 years. The guard position, I love Zach Martin, Marshall Yonder. Jarvie Evans is the practice squad for that. Right tackle, Lane Johnson, Willie Anderson. Any problems with that?
No.
No.
Okay.
I wish I would have picked a couple out. Yeah, because I would have put a vote in for Mangold or Rognell. You know, because those are good centers. I mean, really good centers. They just had the one, so I get it because it's a center, but whatever. I think, honestly, going through this, we'll continue, but I think the only thing they really screwed up was running back because most of these are kind of like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, and like some of these situations, like me talking about tight end, I'm like, man, I can't believe Gates isn't one of the top three. And then Rob says, who are you putting him over? And it's like, shut up. Don't ask me a dumb question like that. Who am I putting him over? I don't know. What do you expect me to know? But again, we're splitting hairs there. But the running back thing, I think it's a no-brainer. That's just a silly pick.
Yeah, I think it is too. I mean, it's how do you get that wrong?
Aaron Schatz is my guy who made that pick.
I'm gonna make your point for you that you made. I've been holding off on this one. We're going to go to edge rush.
Yes.
Okay? We got DeMarcus Ware over Jared Allen. Myles Garrett and Julius Peppers. That's just silly, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Myles Garrett or Julius Peppers are number one and number two. Jared Allen and then DeMarcus Ware. But this is what I don't get. Riddle me this, Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Strahan is on a practice squad. If he's been playing long enough in this 25 years, he's ranked ahead of these other guys. I will take Michael Strahan and T.J. Watt over DeMarcus Ware. That's number
me
one.
Me too.
I love DeMarcus Ware, though.
Let's make the other point, though. Michael Strahan retired in 07. When did Jonathan Ogden retire?
Well, the same year or right
07.
After
07.
Yeah.
So how do you say Jonathan Ogden didn't play long enough to be on this list, but Michael Strahan, who retired in the same year, is unjustifiably on the practice squad?
And just real quick, one thing to point out with DeMarcus Ware, mm-hmm. I think he has more All-Pros than any other pass rusher that we listed.
Seven times.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, and that's fine, but I think the other guys play with more stud pass rushers at the time.
Garrett is 6-time, and he's still playing.
Yeah. But my biggest point, though, is
he's defensive player of the year, too.
How is Michael Strahan, let's not even argue the practice squad. He retired the same year. How is he on the list, and Ogden didn't make the list at all?
Yeah.
But Ogden is regarded, am I right, is he regarded as the best left tackle of all time by many people?
I think it's between him and Joe Thomas, I would think.
Yeah,
Anthony Munoz didn't play in his era,
right.
And you got three guys who were regarded as that, and yet you have one person who retired the same year who's a practice squad, and you have one who's not on it at all. That's trash, man.
Can I throw one at you that I think's interesting? And I don't have a problem with the guys that they have here. What about Derek Brooks over Luke Kuechly, since Kuechly didn't – I mean, he had a shortened career. Yeah. And if you really go back and look at Derek Brooks – what Derek Brooks did, he was perfect for that team in the style of that Tampa 2 that they were running.
Is that where you're going? Mm-hmm. Really? Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
How about go here? How is Bobby Wagner under Ray Lewis? How is Bobby Wagner ahead of Luke Kuechly? How is Bobby Wagner number two in Derek Brooks' practice squad?
Oh, I love Bobby Wagner.
Love Bobby Wagner too, but it's not about love. What's love got to do with it?
He's an 11-time All-Pro, man.
He's not better than those guys, though, man.
He's got 11 All-Pros. How many years? Was he an All-Pro every year?
I hear that, but who is his? Who are his contemporaries, though? I mean, these guys are playing with a lot of Hall of Famers at one time. It's hard to be All-Pro when you have so many other Hall of Famers playing in your era.
I don't know, man. I think he's so great.
My eyes tell me Derek Brooks is better than Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, but they're not. I get that. I'd put Derek Brooks over Levante David, and I think the world of him, too. But
I think so, too.
And I think that's why he didn't make the list, because he already had a Buccaneer.
But to me, Bobby Wagner, I'm watching. Like, London Fletcher might be a name that we should be talking about, because his numbers are off the charts ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But if you look at 11-time.
Brian Urlacher is not better than Luke Kuechly and
I
Derek
totally
Brooks.
Agree with that.
Brian Urlacher is not better than Luke Kuechly or Derek Brooks.
I think
either one of
Urlacher was good, but I think he was overrated. And it just he gets a lot of love. Kuechly is supposed to be one of the smartest linebackers to ever play.
I love him. He just had a shortened career. Yeah. If I'm going to ding him for something, it's that.
Defensive player of the year, though. When you get that DPOY, because that separates you from other people.
Don't we agree if we're going to ding him for things like that, he shouldn't be on the list? If you're going to ding him, he's either on the list or not on the list.
Yeah.
Well, once you put him on the list, you can't say, well, he didn't play as many years. No, he's on the list or not on the list.
Do you guys think Dave Tube should have been the special teams coordinator? Like, who needed that? Nobody knows who the hell Dave Tube is, you jackasses. You could have left him off. You could have done a head coach. You didn't have. You want to get the inside linebacker coach, too? What the hell is that?
I thought it was a joke when you said it.
No.
I thought it was like a tube steak joke coming or something like that.
Is Charlie Morton going to be one of the pitchers in the rotation that helps get this team to postseason contention? We'll talk about that at 9:15. But on the other side, friend of the show, Rick Redder tweeted on Thursday that C.J. Mosley wanted a reunion with the Ravens, but team doctor said, eh-eh. Talk about that on the other side. Up next on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores?
How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.